Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show with Louisiana with Miss Carla Serenity Baker. And I'm going to tell you, we got a show for you guys today. All right. But before we go on, I'm going to go ahead on and introduce you to Miss Carla. Miss Carla, she's from Louisiana. She's an author. She's a motivational speaker. This lady here is bringing Louisiana on the map.
So, well, that's what we do.
Before I go ahead on and go any farther, go ahead on, Miss Carla, take over.
Well, thank you, John. As always, it's a pleasure for me to be able to bless people with your vision of this show that you put together. But I'm especially excited today because we have someone that is really special, someone that is needs to be heard, someone who is really, really a close friend of mine, but a motivation to the world. I have Hank Stewart Poetry. Hank Stewart on the line. And Hank has awarded many opportunities, including working with programs, with prominent officials, such as Vice President Al Gore, contributing a piece honoring the mother of the civil rights movement, Rosa Parks. I can go on and on and on and on, literally. But before I do, or I'm just going to cut straight to it, Hank Stewart, welcome. Say hello to the world.
Thank you for having me. Thank you both for having me, and I appreciate it. Don't take it lightly. So thank you for allowing me to grace your airways and speak to your audience today. Thank you.
You are so welcome. We're going to jump right into it. And if you guys notice, I normally don't fumble with my words, but I'm fumbling today, and it's only because he has done so much, not just in Atlanta, but worldwide. So, Hank, my first question for you is, tell us about your journey to your calling. How did that happen?
Wow, that's a great question. November the 7th, 1991 was the day that I discovered my purpose. You know, Miles Monroe once said, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but the greatest tragedy in life is to be given life and not know why you're living. Let me say that again. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but the greatest tragedy in life is to be given life and not know why you're living. On November the 7th, 1991, I was a manager for UPS, and I was working third shift. I came home. I never forget this. I came home that morning. It was around 8 o'clock in the morning. I kind of pedaled around the house. I went to sleep. I woke up around 5 o'clock. I turned on the news and trying to just catch up on what was happening throughout the day because I had to get back to work for a meeting. The news was the news caller. Murder,
right.
Carjacking, inflation, all the typical things you see on the news. The weather
right.
came on, and it was talking about floods and tornadoes in the Midwest. And that day, and then the sports came on. I'm a sports junkie, and that was the day that Magic Johnson declared he was HIV positive.
Oh, wow.
I had never in my life seen the news so horrific, so horrible. And so I started doodling on a sheet of paper, and the very first poem that God ever blessed me with was a piece that's called Can You Hear Me? And it was real simple. It says, Lord, there's times when nothing is going right. Lord, there's times I can't find anything good to talk about. Lord, there's times when I cry, I wonder, did you hear me? Lord, there's times I've fallen, and I wonder, did you see me? Can you hear me, Lord? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Just give me a sign. And very softly, he spoke to my heart. He told me about Calvary, and this is what he said. He said, Hank, do you know they slapped me across my face because I heard your cry. They pierced me in my side because I heard your cry. They spit on me because I heard your cry, and I died on a Friday because I heard your cry. But I rose on a Sunday because I heard your cry. Now, my child, you have it all simply because I heard your cry. And that was the first thing that I ever wrote, and that's when I discovered my purpose, and I started writing every day after that call, every single day.
Wow. So basically what you're saying is that you actually walked out on faith. You said, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to go with it. And a lot of people don't do that, Hank. A lot of people get these visions. They get these dreams, the dreams and the visions, and they hear the calling, but they don't move forward. And look at you now. I'm reading, Vice President Al Gore, civil rights, you spoke about, you contributed a piece for Rosa Parks, Jesse Jackson, Shirley Franklin. I can go on and on, but one of the things that stand out is that you spoke to, or you spoke for, our former First Lady, Michelle Obama, who I absolutely adore. I don't want to say worship because we're only supposed to worship one, but she's right up there with Oprah and Jesus. For me, how did that come about, speaking at the White House?
Yeah, and let me just say this, too. You're absolutely right. We you know, it's about finding your purpose and a whole lot of things. And I always tell young people, your life, you know, you try to make sure everything in your life, because every day of your life is really connecting the dots to something. If you're doing something wrong, it's connecting the dots to evil. If you're doing something right, the dots will eventually connect. And back in 2014, I was approached, called by Congressman Hank Johnson's wife, Marita Johnson, who's now a commissioner here in the state of Georgia. And she said, look, I'm on a committee, and the First Lady's committee, and it's a luncheon that they have every year for the First Lady. And it's interesting. The Democrats put it on 1 year, the Republicans put it on the next year, and it alternates. And so this particular year, the Democrats is putting this this conference on, this luncheon on. And the year before, I think the Democrats put it on. I think they brought in Jill Scott. The year before that, I think Jamie Foxx was their entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so this particular year, I was the entertainment for it, and I did a tribute to the very first African-American female first lady, and it was the best thing in the world. And I always tell young people this, and John, you know, and Colin, you have to – I hope a lot of young people are hearing me. You know, be careful what you do today, because what you do today could affect you tomorrow. And what do I mean by that? Well, they said – when they called me, they said, you know, Mr. Stewart, we have to vet you. A lot of people don't know what vetting is, but vetting is a background check, and they go back and check as far as, I think, the seventh grade. And so had I done things in my life that was unpleasing or that did not allow me, you know, made statements or whatever, I would have missed out on one of the most incredible opportunities in my life. And so, you know, I tell people, young people, and I was speaking to some young men yesterday, you don't know what God has planned for you. Make sure you do the best you can, stay as clean as you can, because you don't want to knock yourself out of the game before you get to the plate.
Wow. And I say the same thing. And I say the same thing. Just be mindful. A lot is going on in the world today, especially right now. And we have social media. So it's not just us sitting on our porches or, you know, talking to our friends or coworkers or whatever at work. And it's just like a verbal, you know, conversation. A lot of times these people go online. And now that they can go live and everything, you don't know who's watching it. You don't know who's going to pass it. You don't know. You're not supposed to speak out of anger or when you're, unless it's positive or it can actually help someone. Does that make sense?
Like, no don't doubt go. About it.
Yeah, just now, Hank, this brings up a conversation that you and I had about maybe a month ago. I was trying, John, I was trying to tell him about something that happened on one of the reality shows, and he shut it down immediately. But the way he shut it down was in terms of seconds, minutes, days, months, and years. Hank, do you think you'll be able to recite that right quick? Do you remember?
Well, I think we were talking about purpose, and I think we were talking about time and how at 53 years of age, you know, time is very important to me. It should always be important to all of us. But it's even more important to me now. And so I remember reading something not too long ago, and it says that the average person gets 30,000 days in a lifetime, 30,000 days. So what I decided to do is when they said 30,000, you know, most people hear that 30,000 and leave it alone. I decided to divide 365 by 30,000, and I came up with 82. Now, I should have left that alone. John, I should have just said, okay, that's 82 years. That should have been enough for me. So then I said, well, I tell you what, I'm 53 years old. Let me multiply 365 times 53. And I came up with 19,000 roughly and some change. Now, John, Carla, I should have left it there, and I didn't. So what I did was I subtracted the 19,000 from the 30,000 caller, and it came up with 10,000 and something. I should have left it there. I promise you I should have left it there, but I didn't. So 10,380, I divided 365 into that and came up with 29, which says that I could possibly have, which means I could possibly have 29 years left if I go on the average. Now, some people die before or some people go longer. But the average puts me at 29, which means I have more yesterdays than tomorrows.
Oh, wow.
And when I know that, I need to not waste my todays and tomorrows. So I choose who I allow to give my time to, because my time is very precious right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with more yesterdays than tomorrows, you don't want to be hanging out with people that taking you in the wrong direction, who's
that's
not
so
doing
true.
Anything, who's talking about, because you got less time now. So that's the whole 30,000 days.
I love it.
Wow.
Why don't you tell us about your nonprofit organization? Correct me if wrong, is Walk Against the Call, correct?
Well, my nonprofit organization is the Hank Stewart Foundation.
Okay.
Against the Call was one of the events that we put on. But let me go back and give Gwen Mason, who's my co-founder and executive director of the Stewart Foundation, and I got a whole bunch of people who work with me and who works, we work beside each other, and I work for, even though the foundation bears my name.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nonprofit organization, a youth organization, and our goal is to work with children, mind, body, and soul. So we work with kids all year long. We don't do a couple programs a year and try to get sponsorship. We do stuff every single month, sometimes every single year. Every
mm-hmm.
single week in that month. And so our year is broken up into four quarters, August, September, October, and that's our health and wellness and financial wellness quarter. So we work with kids on being smart financially and being healthy.
Yeah.
So we have so we do a games down activities up where we say, okay, we get put your phones down, get them in front of the TV, playing Xbox. Let's go outside and play kickball, jump rope, hopscotch, and all that. And so we take kids out there to do that. And when they come inside, they've been out all day. They smell like outdoors. Remember, we used to smell like outdoors.
yeah, you smell like the outside.
Smell like outside. And
yeah.
So that's our first quarter, August, September, October. Our second quarter, which is one of the most important quarters, and that's November, December, January, and that's our community service quarter. So we partner with the local church, and we feed the homeless. So we normally feed about 250 people. And then we make brown paper bags. And here in Atlanta, we have a terrible homeless problem. So we'll go under the bridge and
wow.
pass out brown paper bags to homeless people. And we let our kids do that, because what we want them to understand is that everybody don't wake up in bed. Some people wake up on concrete or under bridges. And so when you become that successful CEO or singer or athlete
yeah.
or entrepreneur, then you need to give back. You need to be trying to help in that respect. In December, we've adopted a home called Gilgal, a home for women who are recovering from substance abuse and being homeless.
Oh, wow.
And so every year for the last 9 years, we go in and we get, it's usually anywhere between 15 to 25 women, African-American, Caucasian, Hispanic. And we get their,
mm-hmm.
their dress size collar. We get their everything they want. And they give us a Christmas wish. And we adopt the shelter and give each one of those women everything they want in their Christmas wish. Every single thing. We bring in at least 3 weeks worth of professional clothing so they can get back into the work environment, shoes, makeup, I mean, everything. We do massages. Waffle House comes in and feeds them breakfast in bed. We have about 150 volunteers out in the audience, I mean, the yard, and they're cleaning up. And we do everything that place needs. We make sure that the electrical is working, the plumbing is working, so we bring in electricians and plumbers and roofers and whatever they need.
Beautiful.
In January, we work with we've adopted a home called AG Rose, and that's for senior citizens. And so we take our kids in there to sit at the feet of seniors, and
mm-hmm.
they read to them, they play checkers with them, they talk to them, they interview our students, interview them so they can learn their history. It's amazing. February, March, and April is our educational quarter, where we do a Black History program in February, Women's History program in March, and we have a career day here in Atlanta. We have the largest career day probably in the country. We average over about 200 speakers. We've employed over 1,000 students with permanent part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And we do all type of prep. May, June, and July is our social quarter. May, this month, we're doing an anti-bullying workshop. We're going to take all of about 120 kids that go to the movies, and we're going to show them an anti-bullying film, one that was done by Lisa Raitt this year. It's called Skin.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then in June, we do a networking program, and in July, we do etiquette, where we teach our kids table etiquette and social media etiquette, what not to.
And that is so needed.
On social media. And then they have their own White Linen Affair, you know, so our kids get a budget and they put on their own White Linen, their culminating event for the year. So that's just a little bit of what we do throughout the year.
A little bit? No, sir. that's not a little bit. That's quite, that's amazing.
Well, I say that because, like, for instance, tomorrow I go to D.C. and I sit on a board called National Juvenile Defense Center. And it's an organization where I'm the only non-attorney. And our primary goal is to make sure that children who are going before the juvenile court system has fair and competent representation. So that's a whole other side of what the foundation does. And so it's usually a whole bunch of Caucasian attorneys who are advocating on behalf of all children, particularly our children. And so that's pretty big. We do a voter registration drive. We teach kids how to go out and register voters. And, you know, so it's a whole lot of other stuff that we do, but that's just the structure that we do throughout the 12-year, 12-month program.
Wow. Tell us about your event that's coming up.
Well, you know about the Stewart Foundation, so we do a couple fundraisers throughout the year. One is our annual White Linen Affair. It's my 16th year doing this. So this is our 16th year, Hank Stewart's White Linen Affair, Who's Behind the Mask. So we'll start out we'll kick it off on that Friday morning with a golf tournament. We'll have probably about 100 golfers and sponsors and all of that. And so we have Rashawn Ali, who's a national sports anchor. She and a guy by the name of Sam Crenshaw, they're the hosts for it. They're the hosts for the golf tournament. Then we'll go back to the hotel. And I'll tell you, this just happened today. I just blocked this down. But we have a VIP reception. So Tony Terry has a new CD that's coming out. So he's going to come in for the first 100 guests who bought tickets. We'll get his new CD. And he's going to do a private listening party for them. Then we have Red Carpet and Carl Payne from The Martin Show will host the Red Carpet. And then that night is a concert and a new school party. The concert is featuring Angie Stone. So that's going to be cool. There's a sister out of Chicago named Sandy Red. She's amazing. So we got another young lady by the name of Diamond in the Rough. She's amazing. We got some great poets that's going to perform on that stage. Saturday morning,
amazing.
The kids have their White Linen Affair. And then Ambassador Andrew Young comes and talks to them about our history. And then we do a red carpet that evening, which is the masquerade party. Starts out with a fashion show by Lisa Nicole from Merit to Medicine and Dwight Eubanks, and they're going to do a fashion show. And then we're honoring two amazing people who does amazing work in the city of Atlanta but around the country, and that's Judge Glenda Hatchard and Roland Martin. And then Norman Brown.
Oh, okay.
We got Grammy Award winning guitarist Norman Brown doing a jazz concert. Then there's an old school party going on at the same time. On Sunday morning, Judge Penny Brown Reynolds is our Sunday morning speaker. We got some amazing vocalists that's performing. And then we have a Sunday brunch that closes it all up with Marion Meadows. And he's bringing a special guest. I cannot say it publicly, but he's going to be amazing. So we got two Grammy Award winning artists that's going to be performing at our Sunday brunch, along with hosted by Joy Somerville.
How can we get tickets?
So that's our whole, and it, you can go, it's real simple. Go to hankstewart.net, HANKSTEWART, hankstewart.net. And for the whole weekend, it's only $100 for the entire weekend.
Wow.
You get all the concerts.
Wow.
You get all the old school, new school party. You get the Sunday morning brunch for $100. But we have some amazing sponsors. Delta Airlines is our title sponsor. We have Xerox, and Waste Management, and Hartsfield Jackson, and Aon Hewitt. And we just got a bunch of really good sponsors that allows us to keep this price at a reasonable price.
It sounds unbelievably amazing. I plan on being there this year. John, Hank, I plan on being there. This is incredible. It's not about the people that's going to be there. It's about the reason why they are going to be there. You know, it's for the cause, and you do so much. I'm going to try my best to be there this year. I have to. Is there anything, what did you want to say, John?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Hank a question. I heard you mention something about purpose. Could you please tell the audience in your view, you know, in your opinion, how can a mother and a father get their children to find their purpose?
Good, yeah.
That's a great question, John. That's a great question. Exposure. When we expose our children to all type of things, mm-hmm. they learn and they see and they grow. And when you travel, you know, if you live in Louisiana and you only live in your community, you mm-hmm. go to school in your community, you go to church in your community, mm-hmm. you buy groceries in your community, you play in your community, and you never leave your community, then mm-hmm. all you know is your community, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're exposed to so much more, and you take children to plays and concerts. I mean, not more than just a football game or a basketball game, but you take them to a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And you take them to the orchestra. You take them, you know, you take them to the museums
mm-hmm.
and see art. You take them, you know, you travel. They see the world. The
mm-hmm.
more you see, the more you're exposed to, the better you have an opportunity to find out what it is that God puts you on this earth to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so often, you know, we don't do that with our children. I remember when we were growing up, everybody used to get in your daddy's car, you know, the station wagon, and you drive a little bit, you know, and you get outside
yes.
the city. And it gave you a perspective of something else, you know, of something, what
so
else
true.
Was happening. You know, and then you get a chance to meet other people and see things
that's
that
true.
They're doing. And, you know, and if you don't, and if all you know is what you know, then you know very little, you know,
wow.
so. You know, so when you get an opportunity to really put children, you expose them. Like, you know, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. See,
okay.
if I say go to Forbes Richest List, if you go to Forbes Richest List, you're going to see Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Mark Zuckerberg, the Coates brothers, the Walmart family, Bloomberg family, and all of that. Then I say go to the Richest African American List. You don't see Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan. You don't see Tyler Perry
mm-hmm.
and LeBron and Beyonce and all them. Then I say go back
mm-hmm.
to the richest American again and see how they acquired their wealth. Build
mm-hmm.
IT, real estate, finance,
mm-hmm.
social media, all these different things. Then I say go back to the richest African American. How did they acquire their wealth? Athletics and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
See, white kids.
The
white kids don't grow up and want to be LeBron James.
Mm.
They don't care about playing the game. They want to own the game. They want to be Mark Cuban.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? They want to. They you know they want to be Arthur Blank. They want to own the team. They don't want to play on it. They you know. So white kids don't have roofs and ceilings on their dreams.
Right.
They dream big. And
We box our children in.
We'll run our kids to football practice, basketball
mm-hmm.
practice, baseball practice. And band practice all day long, but we won't take them to
mm-hmm.
a poetry recital. We won't take them to see won't take them to go and see, a painter. We won't take them to go and eat at a fancy restaurant and see that you can own your own restaurant. And, you know, one of my good friends, G. Garvin, is one of the baddest chefs in the country and makes a lot of money cooking food. So we don't take them outside of the comfort zone. It's easy to go and take them to see basketball and football
mm-hmm.
and let them dance and all that. And that's
mm-hmm.
not really, you know. And we've limited them. And our kids are so brilliant; they're smart,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing them a
mm-hmm.
disservice, you know, as parents.
Wow.
So, you know, so purpose is, you know, purpose. Let me start. Go back and say purpose is about God. You know, you have a personal relationship
right.
with God. He'll show you your purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the thing that I so love is that I have a personal relationship with God. So.
And that's very important. And as you can tell, I'm just going to speak on what I do with my daughter and my son. Even though my son is 30 years old, you don't really you know, he's out there and he's a family man. He does what he's doing and he's very positive. And, you know, he has a few things that, you know, me and the family like, ah, he said the little curse word here or there, but he's still living right. But I know that it's super, super important that I continue to do what I'm doing with my daughter. You can go on my Facebook page right now and you will see that she is deep. I am so surprised that the things that I have sacrificed in my life for her to be able to think outside the box and step outside the box and understand that life just isn't in this community. Life just isn't in this neighborhood. She is out there, guys, doing it. She does her poetry. She does her writing. She's really smart in school. She does everything that you're saying, Hank, and she travels a lot. I was able to make that happen by sacrificing me, if that makes sense. And, Hank, you know it. Many a times I've said I wanted to do so many things, and I just couldn't do it. Many a times we're supposed to have phone conversations, and I'm knocked out. I'm knocked out because of the fact that I've invested so much in her during the day, whether it be it me working, me, you know, running. I say running around, but I joyfully, you know, do it, you know, running around, taking her there. I do those things because I know it's important for her to see that I am there for her as a mother and out thinking outside of the community, doing exactly what you're saying. Now, Hank, being that something just caught me when you said that the kids are going to have an all-white party. See, I never thought about I'm guilty of this. I didn't even think about bringing my daughter to this event. This is something that would be beneficial to her.
Yeah, our kids, and I'll send you some pictures. Our kids have an all-white party, and last year we were able to give away to our graduates, we gave away 17 $500 book scholarships.
Wow.
And each and every one of the students who graduated last year, we gave them a Foot Locker. Y'all remember the Foot Lockers, right? When we went off to school,
yes.
The Foot Locker was filled. It was filled with everything they needed to start school: bedding, school supplies, towels.
Wow.
They had clocks, lamps, and a printer. And all of them got exactly what they needed to start school off with. Everything.
Wow.
They needed.
Well,
and so we'll do that again that for them this year. And we sent, throughout the year, we sent incidental money. So we have kids who, you know, sometimes they're not eating, so we'll send $100. You know, or $200 for them, or they're trying to do some things. And then the other part is, you know, throughout the year we have raised funds for education. We help to raise, you know, with Mike, you know, and Carly, you know, this Tommy Ford,
yeah.
The late Tommy Ford, and
yes.
I were very good friends. And so the Stewart Foundation and I we worked with Tommy, and we were able to help raise about $7 million in scholarships.
Wow.
We have an event that we partnered with one of the local schools called Read Daddy Read and Real Men Read, and we helped to pull 300 men into a classroom. We had more men than they had classrooms to read to young people.
Wow.
You know, Thermo Fisher does a lot in the community, and Thermo Fisher gave us, you know, they do trade shows, and you can't sell the vials and all these little scientific
yes.
products once you've used them, so they give them to us, and we give them to schools that are in STEM programs and things that
you're
are
right.
When during the Obama administration, we were able to build two gardens into two schools. They gave us money, $2,500. The kids build their garden, and they planted the vegetables, greens, and all that. They plucked them, and then the culinary arts department, they cooked them. So we were able to build two gardens.
Wow, yeah. Hank, we're going to have you back. You are so much more than 30 minutes. We have, a minute left? I think we have a minute left.
Yes.
Hank, thank
left.
You so much for coming onto
oh, no,
the
not
show.
A problem.
We wanted to take some callers, but I felt like we really needed for them to hear you today because I'm honored to have you here. One more time, you have the event coming up. Date, how can they get the tickets? And then we're going to sign out.
Okay, it's real simple, hankstewart.net. The date is July 28th through the 30th, a full three-day weekend. And the tickets are $100, so you can go there and order your tickets. And I think we booked out of the rooms, so we have no more rooms, only a handful of rooms left. So.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Hank. John,
thanks for having me.
We're going to close it up, correct?
Okay, yes.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you all for listening in today on Uplifting Communities Talk Show Louisiana with your girl Carla Serenity. And we had the amazing Hank Stewart. Make sure you check him out on Facebook, Hank Stewart Poet. too. He has a couple of pages. Look him up online. YouTube, Hank Stewart. He has a lot of amazing poetry. And, Hank, we thank you so much for being on the show. Remember, your voice is our voice, so let us all be heard.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.